Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the program today. Hey, have you heard of this title as a brand new program that is taking place out on the Learning Channel? Maybe you've not watched it, but maybe you've heard the title being talked about because it was in the news quite a bit. But this is the title, My Husband's Not Gay. That's the title of an actual program, pretty bold by the Learning Channel to put a program out like this. But it was a title and a program that received a lot of commentary. A lot of ink was spilled talking about this program before it went on the air. In fact, there was quite a concerted effort by those who did not want to see this program come on the air. I think 90-some thousand signatures were gathered to try to stop the Learning Channel from putting this out. And guess what? The 90,000 signatures that were put out came from a source that I bet you wouldn't guess where they came from. I bet you're thinking when you think 90,000 people gathered together to not have a program come on that had these types of themes in it, you're probably thinking, okay, well, a bunch of fundamentalist Christians got together and decided that this shouldn't be on. Well, if you think that, you couldn't be more wrong in your assessment. It didn't come from the Christians. It actually came from the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Well, how could that be? Why would that be? Well, I saw a really good review of the program just yesterday when I was reading my Facebook post. I follow Joe Dallas in my Facebook posts and the feeds, the news feeds that I received there. And Joe was writing about this subject. Now, Joe Dallas doesn't need any much of an introduction on this program because he's been with me a number of times. I've recommended his book highly, especially the book The Gay Christian with a question mark after it. And I've recommended Joe as a great resource, not just for homosexual issues, but sexual issues from a biblical perspective as a whole. To find out more about Joe's books and about other writings that he has, how you can follow him as well, go out to his website at www.joedallas.com. That's www.joedallas.com. Joining us now is Joe Dallas, and I wanted to get Joe on the program to talk through a little bit of what he saw and as he watched that new program on the Learning Channel. What did he appreciate about it? Were there some concerns that he had about what was being said or how it was depicted? And then, you know, just some other thoughts as well. So, Joe, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Hey, good being with you, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
Well, Joe, let's start off. I mentioned a little bit about the opposition that came from GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, just the amount of the reaction, I should put it that way, the reaction from this group before the program even ever aired.
Because the program showed social conservatives who basically said, yes, I may have attractions to the same sex, but no, I don't think it would be right to give in to them, and so I choose heterosexual marriage over homosexual relationships. Because of that, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation started a virtual campaign, and as you said, they did gather over 90,000 signatures in a petition to block the Learning Channel from airing this show. The reason they gave is one we often hear, Kevin, and that is, well, confused teenagers who are gay but are not quite accepting it will see that show, and they will be further convinced that homosexuality is wrong. That will get them depressed. They may even kill themselves. And so using that reasoning, they argued that it's irresponsible for a television show to air any viewpoint other than the one that homosexuality is normal and good.
I keep seeing that pop up over and over again, that if anybody offers a critique of what is being said, that you are actually, and I think that this was the way that they had put it as well, was that you are putting countless young gay teens in harm's way. And this is where I think that that statement is something that we need to be concerned about, because we've already saw even at the Supreme Court level where it says that if somebody holds a conservative viewpoint, a viewpoint that is different from the gay lobby viewpoint, that they are the enemies of the human race. I mean, these are strong terms that are being used and different techniques to try to silence us in any sort of critique of what's taking place. They weren't alone. You write in your article that the Denver Post referred to the show as a freak show, and the Atlantic, kind of echoing the Post, compared it to watching the show to viewing sideshow freaks. And so any other position besides the endorsed position of the gay lobbyist seems to be that, you're out of the mainstream and you're weird, you're freakish, and something that nobody should pay any attention to. That's a pretty fair assessment, isn't it?
I think so, Kevin. And you used an important word, and that is technique.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very smart technique. Look, nobody wants to admit that they are intolerant. That's not cool. That's not acceptable. Nobody wants to admit that they are uncomfortable with anyone challenging their viewpoint. Therefore, they simply want to censor everybody else. Nobody's going to admit to that. So if you want to silence other viewpoints, but you don't want to just admit that you want to silence other viewpoints because you have no tolerance for them, the next best thing you can do is come up with a noble reason to silence other viewpoints. And this noble reason they've latched on to is what I really believe to be the myth that if you preach homosexuality as a sin, that is somehow going to cause homosexuals to either commit suicide or become clinically depressed or become self-destructive. Now, the illogic of that is very simple. The church teaches that many things are sins. We teach that lying is a sin. Greed is a sin. Lust is a sin. Violence is a sin. We don't see all people who lust or are greedy or are violent going out and killing themselves because we preach against those sins.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, saying something is wrong does not cause the wrongdoer harm. And in fact, from a biblical perspective, there is no grace extended if you're not first preaching truth. If you don't preach repentance of sin and a recognition of sin, there is no felt need for the grace of God. So, again, it is quite irresponsible and sloppy to neglect that aspect of giving the full counsel of God. And again, it is a technique that we're seeing today. And let's all buckle up, Kevin. We're going to see more of this. We're going to see a broad assumption that what they are saying is true, not because it's been proven to be true, but because it is said so often. When people say things often enough and you get enough people saying them, then the general public will accept it to be true without checking for themselves.
We actually saw that that type of technique in Living Color here right in the Greenville area. We had SoulForce and another group come here to the area, homosexual activist groups. And there had been a young man that was tragically killed outside of a bar. And they got in a fight with some other patron in the bar, outside of the bar. When he was struck, he fell backwards and hit his head on the curb, and he died. And the homosexual, the man who died was homosexual. And so the Soul Force and this other group that came, they said that it was his death was the result of what the churches were teaching about homosexuality. Now, there was no evidence whatsoever that he had ever frequented a church or that the guy who punched him had ever been in a church. There was no religious statement made or anything. I said it would be much more consistent to hold the bar responsible, you know, and to go after the idea of drinking than it would be to go after the church and their teaching. But I made at one of the local meetings over that issue, I made the very same point that we teach against drunkenness, and we don't find, you don't find Christians going out and attacking people that are drinking. This isn't what the church
exactly.
is about. It doesn't lead to that. So it's just a false premise, and it's, as we talked about, a technique. Back to the program, you write in your review of the program, you said, what's the fuss? Simply put, my husband's not gay profiled three Mormon marriages in which the husbands were attracted to men, but realizing homosexuality to be at odds with the Latter-day Saints doctrine, they chose not only to resist those attractions, but also to marry women. So you start by saying, you know, what's the big deal? Why can't we tolerate this message?
Well, if we were, as a culture, really practicing pluralism, there would be no fuss. But you will find, and I know this is common knowledge, that the people who scream the loudest for tolerance do tend to be the most intolerant. So this is nothing new. I deeply appreciated the stand these men and women took. Obviously, as a born-again evangelical Christian, I take serious issue with a lot of Mormon doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
But on social issues, fundamentalist evangelicals others really do come together with the Latter-day Saints when it comes to social issues and often to political efforts, such as efforts involving pro-life or the sanctity of marriage and the family. So I appreciated their willingness to come forward and say, hey, we realize we have these feelings, but that doesn't mean we have to give in to them. Our faith has a framework. We choose to live within the framework of that faith. Now, that's very reasonable, and I got to hand it to these guys especially. I think they did a very good job articulating it. So did their wives, really. Mm-hmm. And as I said in my post, Kevin, I respect them for being willing to go in front of the camera and discuss that. I respect the stand that they took and deeply appreciate the fact they were willing to do that. And by the way, I respect the Learning Channel all the more because they took a lot of heat for this.
Mm-hmm.
But they allowed these people to speak for themselves. They didn't make snide remarks or cut them down. They just said, tell us where you stand, and that's just what the people did.
You pointed out in your post that they did a good job of finding the right people to be on the program because, as you pointed out, they were very articulate and able to really speak and speak well about what they were struggling with and how they were seeking to overcome it, right?
I thought all of them came across as authentic and very comfortable telling the truth about themselves and very likable. I mean, as I said in my post, they're the type you would hope to have for next door neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I think that they presented themselves as healthy people in healthy marriages who were living in integrity with their beliefs. And how can you knock that?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that was very encouraging about it was that they refused the label gay and seeing it as a term describing who both approves of homosexuality and acts on it. And they used a different term instead. They spoke of themselves as being same-sex attracted. Speak to that issue and why you find that, or found that to be so encouraging.
Well, I lean more towards their approach than towards some other people's who adopt the label gay Christian. I'm really not big on labels, truthfully, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that if you have an area of life where you struggle, you have very strong temptations, I don't think you're required to come up with a label to apply to yourself to describe a man who struggles with those temptations. Mm. We all do, you know. Mm-hmm. We all, as long as we're in this body, we have the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And your struggles with the flesh may be different than mine. I see no reason for us to define ourselves by them at all.
Mm-hmm.
But at least in this case, I prefer, if you're going to pick a label, I prefer same-sex attracted to gay, because gay is an affirmative term. It's a positive term. And usually when someone says they are gay, they are saying, I approve of my homosexuality. I act on it. I'm okay with it. Now, there are more and more believers who do experience homosexual temptations, who are thereby also adopting the term gay Christian, and I think that it is a mistake. I remember a few years back, Kevin, speaking at a conference, and a man came up to me after the conference, and he said, "Hello, Joe, I'm a boy lover." And I was really taken aback. And I was sort of gaping at him, and he said, "I have been arrested for having sex with minor boys. Of course, I know what's wrong. I'm in recovery. I abstain from that, but that is still a temptation in my life, so I'm a boy lover." Well, my argument with him was that that is not love, and that he is putting a positive spin on pedophilia.
Mm.
Now, if he had repented of that, that's very good, but it is a thing to regret, not a thing to put a positive spin on. Now, Kevin, I have said many times, and let me repeat it, I certainly do not think homosexuality and pedophilia are the same. Most homosexuals, in my strong opinion, would never molest a child. They are two completely different things. However, the principle is the same. If a person has homosexual temptations, just as if a person has a temptation to lose his temper or to overeat, that is a thing to regret. It's a sinful tendency. It's not something we put a positive spin on. It's something we recognize as a sinful tendency which we, by the grace of God, resist.
Mm.
Gay, in my opinion, doesn't fit that paradigm.
Well said. And I think any sort of hyphenation or statement that, you know, we add a statement before saying Christian is never works out well for us. We shouldn't put an adjective there. That's what I'm thinking of, an adjective before the name Christian. Just Christian is well enough. You know, I think we should just leave it at that. You, even though you give a lot of positive things about what you saw, there was some concerns as well, as I mentioned in the introduction. I think one of your concerns was it was a little bit too casual of an attitude towards lust. Is that right?
In my opinion, yeah, it was. In my opinion, shared by a lot of people. I got a lot of comments on my blog post, including some from Mormons, Kevin, who wrote in and said, "Thank you. We didn't like that either." So in all fairness to the Mormon church, that attitude you're talking about is not representative of what they teach. Basically, the guys were sitting around talking to each other and comparing notes as to what kind of guy turned them on, who they were attracted to, and so forth, and in my opinion, making light of lust.
Mm-hmm.
And even their wives were joining in. One of them said, "Well, it's okay if he checks guys out as long as I can check guys out too." Now, come on.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine any healthy scenario in which a husband and wife agree that it's okay to lust, and even take it so far as to say we can lust together after somebody else.
Right.
Jesus wasn't speaking euphemistically when he said, if you look on someone other than your spouse with lust, you have committed adultery of the heart. Now,
yes.
I don't consider adultery of the heart to be literally the same as physical adultery, but it's still serious. And again, it's a thing to regret, not a thing to joke about or embrace. So I was concerned when I saw that, because I thought it sent the message that, yes, on the one hand, we refrain from that sin, homosexuality, but we didn't really repent of it because we still find it something we can sort of wink, wink, nod, nod, joke about. And I find when I've repented of something, I don't find any humor in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a dour guy at all, and I hope I never become that kind of guy. But sin is sin, and it's no joke.
Exactly. You quote Romans chapter 6 and verse 21 in that article that says, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." If you're ashamed about something, it's not a joking issue with you. You know, the Bible says that we shouldn't talk about those things that were done in secret. So this idea of coarse jesting talking about these things in a light way, I completely agree with you, and I don't think that means that we're dour, as you pointed out, or can't have fun in other ways. Of course we can. But we're talking about sin and death. We're talking about that we have been redeemed as Christians. We've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And so with that price being paid for us to redeem us back unto God, we don't want to be making fun of making light of the reason why the blood of Christ had to be shed in order to win us back to God. So I think that's well said in this article. Joe, you've done a great job here of critiquing this and just giving your some statements. Let me give you, we've got about a minute left in the broadcast, but let me just give you the last word here to speak to the listening audience. What final words would you leave with them?
Well, I appreciate anybody who takes a stand. And so in my blog post, I quoted Theodore Roosevelt, one of my favorite quotes, really, which is, you know, it's the guy in the arena who counts, not the critic, because the guy in the arena is the one who's taking the heat. And I appreciate the fact that these people took the heat. My hope is that more and more of us within the body of Christ will first be sure that we ourselves are living within biblical guidelines, that we are stewarding our sexuality properly and stewarding our lives properly. And then secondly, in a time of confusion, and hey, these times are nothing if not confusing, in a time of confusion, we need clarity.
Amen.
And I am hoping that we will strive to present truth with clarity in such unclear times.
Oh, I think that's an excellent, excellent final word for the broadcast today. Joe, thank you so much for being with us today. I certainly appreciate your ministry, try to promote it whenever I can. But let me just tell the listening audience again that you can read Joe's article. You can follow him on Facebook. Just go out to his website. You'll see how you can find out more about Joe himself. You'll find out about the services that they offer through the ministry that he's the head of there, which is Genesis Counseling. And you'll find out about the events. Joe speaks at a number of events around the country. Had the privilege of actually bringing Joe at one point here to the Greenville area where we did a half-day Saturday event. If there's folks listening to the broadcast today who would like us to do that again, you just contact me and let me know that that's something that you would be interested in helping me put together and funding for it and so forth. And I would be happy to revisit that again to see. I've had people casually in conversations mention that they would love to have something like that again. So you let me know if that's something that's of interest to you. You can send me an email at kttradio@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to converse with you about setting something like that up again with Joe. But you can see the events out at his website. You can also get some downloads out there. Some media is available. And then all of the books are available there at his store as well. So you can see he's written some excellent, excellent books. He does a great job on this subject. All of that and much more is found out at his website, simply just joedallas.com. That's www.joedallas, all one word, .com. And you can go out there to find out all that information. By the way, Joe's wife also has a ministry out there as well, his wife Renee. And so you can go out there and read her blog and see what she's doing as well. You'll find a lot of help and a lot of resources in both of their ministry. Joe, thank you so much again for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Kevin.
Okay. Bye-bye, my friend.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.